Radio.
It's time to get stuffed. She's the queen of mean, she can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. Sit back, relax, and loosen up. It's Lisa Lampanelli and you're gonna get stuffed.
Lisa Lampanelli.
Hey, everybody out there in Get Stuffed Land. It is your favorite co-host, Mike Morse. Wait,
what?
I was trying to be a good friend. See, here's the thing, Mike. It is obviously Lisa Lampanelli and my co-host, Mike Morse. Now, I decided that this week we should talk about friendship and friends. So I was trying to be a good friend and be like, oh, Mike, you count too and you should come first sometimes. But then I realized we're not even really friends, so it doesn't matter.
But you made it almost all the way through.
I almost said your whole name. I think I left off the E at the end, which is nice.
Right, that's okay.
Now, the thing is, I think friendship is a very difficult thing because I, from one day to the next, hate all my friends, then I love them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be one moment feeling like, oh, my friends are my family. Then I'm like, no, my friends are really my family in that they annoy me and I want to kill them all. So I think sometimes we just gotta go, what the F makes a good friendship? Why do I hang on to this person? And should I get rid of all of them and just become a hermit like Walden? Wasn't David Allen Thoreau or some guy in the woods?
Yeah.
Who was that guy?
I didn't read all that stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I did not. I know it was Thoreau.
Ted Kaczynski is who you're thinking.
Yes, that's the one. Yes. I think a lot of people don't kill enough of their friends. Because I'm watching this Will and Grace. I'll tell you. I'm watching this Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, would these four actually be friends with each other?
No.
Never! No. First of all, Karen's way too rich to hang around with these lowlifes. Second of all, Jack is way too gay to live. Just kidding. As you know, I love the gays. But yeah, I can't imagine. But, you know, I have had codependent friendships like a Will and or a Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the show should be Jack and Karen, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Will ampersand Grace are supposedly the real friends. And I have had friends like that where you're just like, oh my God, you're like my partner in life. Mm-hmm. Every other person comes after you.
Have you ever had a man that was a friend like that?
Not a straight one, which I'd worry about if it was a straighty, because then are you boning them?
When Harry met Sally.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
I had a friend, Jake, in my 20s when I was cool and living in the East Village and partying it up. Oh, Mike, I was something out there at the CB&GBs. And my friend Jake, I took him to my high school reunion because I knew he'd shock and scare everyone because he's a very East Village dark guy. So not dark black, but, you know, dark for a white guy.
Right.
So he had a very haunting exterior. And he said to me, as we stood in the kitchen of my mother's house where he was sleeping over in separate bedrooms because we were just quote unquote friends, he said, wouldn't this be wild if we had a Harry met Sally moment? And I said, ha, 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 because I hadn't seen the movie. Now, that's what stinks. I have learned since then to keep up on your viewing. Because had I known what he said, I either would have jumped him right there because he was super cute, or I would have run for my life. Thank God he died of a crack overdose, and I had no chance to find out.
Right.
But it was years later, so I had since stopped caring.
Right. And luckily, he didn't say we should have a Silence of the Lambs moment.
I would have been like, let's do it right now, and I'd be rubbing lotion on someone's skin. I don't know what would have happened.
Wow. So you would have gone for it.
I probably would have, because he was so cute. Mm-hmm. But then I would have been with a crack addict, because he was a crack addict.
But he wasn't then.
No, but once you hang around with me enough, you become a crack addict.
I hit the pipe a few times.
Listen, hey, this is, yes, Mike, I've seen you hitting the pipe after shows when you worked with me. Now, this is the thing, too. I think you and I have maintained a healthy balance of friendship, which is you do what I say, and I pay you for it.
That's it.
That's
works
a
for
beautiful
me.
Thing. I don't call you, and I'm like, oh, Mike, something happened. This is so traumatic. I don't give a fuck. If you work with somebody, you pay them. And then you leave.
And that's it.
And then you SOS them.
Well, that's the way
them.
Friends should be anyway. It never, you know, I don't need to hear the bitching, moaning, and whining.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Although I sometimes enjoy, this is what makes me a bad friend. I enjoy hearing your bitching and moaning and whining because I want to help you because that makes me feel like I have some worth in life. Plus, I want to feel I'm better than you, which is a bad thing, yet it's something that a lot of people do. They go, oh, thank God I'm not in that position, you know? So all my friends I evaluated, by the way, about 5 years ago when the S hit the fan. I don't know why I'll say cunt, but I won't say the S word. No, when the shit hit the fan about, you know, my father's health and this and that and everything's going crazy. I'm like, why do I want this person in my life? Who do I want in my life? And I took this workshop at this place called Kripalu, which I've talked about, a yoga and meditation retreat. And it's called Decluttering Your Life. Now, I knew it wasn't about cleaning out your closets. You don't need to go to fucking Kripalu to clean out a closet. Just clean out your fucking closet. Right. It's not that hard. Like, why are people like, I'm so disorganized.
Or you get a storage space.
Yeah. Get a pod. You ever hear of a pod? How about a garbage can? You hear of one of those? Anyway, I said, this is for emotional clutter, including friends. And I had two friends that I had to write off. Well, one of them was very, I felt the need to control him because he seemed to need my help all the time. And at the time, I liked helping people. Mm-hmm. But then he didn't honor my requests. I had a lot of requests, Mike. One of them is, if I'm at Kripalu at a yoga retreat, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. There's no cell phones there for a reason, dummy. Stop texting me to see how I am. So I said, I got to get rid of this guy because you don't honor my request. I help you, you help me by leaving me alone.
It was a one-way relationship.
That's what it was. So do you know I'm such a show-off? On day two of that clutter retreat, when everyone was saying, oh, maybe by the end of the retreat, I'll declutter my closet. I came in day two. I said, guess what? I wrote off my two friends in an email. I'm done. And I stayed there for the rest of that workshop and lorded it above other people. I am a show off, Mike. But I do tell you, ever since I wrote those friends off, I don't think about them. Do you ever have that where you'll have a breakup or a write off of somebody? And then you're like, boy, my life's better without them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, relationship, romantic is different. That's friendship.
True.
Yeah.
That's a messy thing.
Yeah.
But in friends, like if you cut them off, I don't remember ever missing these people.
Right. Because, yeah, obviously they weren't important friends because you could cut them off. Mm-hmm. And once you do, you feel better about it. And then,
yeah. If you feel a lightness, if you feel suddenly happier when that person's no longer texting you, oh boy, is that the best feeling in the world. Oh my God, I would rather do that. Okay, eating's the only thing I'd rather do other than that. Like, sex, I don't even care. I'd rather feel the lightness of cutting them off. Well, let me tell you, these two, they'll pop up once in a while, maybe once a year. Mm. Oh, I miss you. What the fuck? I'm like, who is this? I don't even know you anymore. I keep their numbers in my phone just in case. So when they do come up on the phone thing, I go, oh, don't call. Right. Don't enter. Don't be right. Like, oh,
you
hello.
Can dismiss.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe you can replace their name with a word that describes them. Like I once had that during a breakup. I had where I was like, okay, this guy causes me pain. And he sent his pictures of his dick to a friend of mine.
Oh.
So I put painful dick pics. That's what I put in there. So whenever you're laughing.
Which is a great name for a band.
Actually, it is. The minute, fronted by Anthony Weiner, I believe. So the minute that number would come up, I wouldn't remember the good emotions about the guy from the relationship. I remember, oh my God, he causes me pain and he sent dick pics to Vanessa.
And you should have put the dick pic from your friend. You should have gotten it and put it as his picture when it comes up on
I
your
should have because his dick was painful to look at. Oof. So see, that would have really turned me off.
Yeah.
It's weird when my mother answers the phone and that rings out.
Now, digressing quickly, did you ever get a dick pic?
From this particular guy? No.
But from someone else?
Someone sent me a picture of them whacking it. And it it was so funny because he honestly looked like, it was insane. Like, it was someone who was fairly famous. He was an athlete. And he sent to me, do you know I showed it to everybody and told them his name? And we were laughing so
hard. And that's why Colin Kaepernick is not working in the NFL. No, that wasn't him.
No. But, no. Speaking of dick pics. No. So anyway, this is how I feel, Mike. If somebody needs to go, they need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this saying that helps us all write off friends, which I love it. Whoever created this dumbass saying, sometimes a friend is in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. So anytime you're writing your write-off email to somebody, mm-hmm. you just quote that dumbass platitude and they go, you know what? She's right. I was there for a reason mm-hmm. and or a season, but not for the fucking lifetime.
Now, do you have friends that you've known forever?
I'm lucky enough that I met my best friend at, believe it or not, Weight Watchers. When I was 25, I decided to finally handle my weight situation, or at least try to. Mm. So there I am at Weight Watchers. It's a bunch of old yentas in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And a girl walks in who's about my age. So we nod hello. And the second week we came in, we bonded because all those bitches were like, oh, there's so much food for week one. I couldn't eat all of it. And I raised my hand. I go, I don't know about you assholes, but I'm fucking hungry. And my friend was like, me too. So we instantly bonded. Mm. So every week after Weight Watchers, we would get all our points together. What you do with the Weight Watchers, you have all these points that you're allowed to eat as a supplement to your good food. Mm. So you'd maybe get 50 extra points a week. We would spend exactly 50 points at the freaking diner after. We would bang those out and overeat ourselves to death so that we could lose weight by the next week.
Right.
Well, ends up, we all both lost weight, gained it all back, but 30 years later. Is that amazing?
Wow.
32 years later, we're still best friends.
Wow.
In fact, she just texted me right now. Here's the thing about her. This girl, the reason we're friends, and this is an important thing for you to listen to about friendship people, is always moving forward as a human being. I don't care if you are never moving forward in your career, in your romantic life, whatever. I don't care about material possessions. I don't care about anything other than, are you growing as a person? She's always working on herself. All I ask of you as a friend is that you grow as a human being and that you do not call me during the performances of Stuffed, my brand new play at the West Side Theater. Tickets available, stuffedplay.com. Because seriously, that's thoughtfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to call me between 7 and 9.
Right.
Stop it. I'm
right.
getting in the mood for my fucking emotional shit. And see, I think that's why I don't have friends that have normal, quote unquote, problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've already been written off. Like, people are like, oh, my friend drinks too much. I'm like, why are they still around?
Right.
Oh, my friend, she's cheating on her husband. Why would you be friends with that?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go with that friendship 101 crap. Why, oh, my friend's passive aggressive. Why are you hanging out? Like, these are write-offs. These are, to me, deal breakers. I'm pretty tough with friends. So if you're growing as a human being, if you don't call me when I don't want you to call me during stuffedplay.com for tickets, hey, we're fine.
Right.
What's your friendship requirements?
Well, see, I think at the risk of being sexist, I think it's
yes.
complete opposite
yes.
for guys. Because mm-hmm. we don't want anyone changing. We want the same guy we knew in high school who was late in his
right.
farts.
Right.
We're going to go see him. We're going to go watch the football game together. Right. I don't want to hear about this crap.
You don't want to hear, yes, because you're a straight guy,
right.
which is great.
Yeah.
And I think guys bond over activities.
Right.
Women bond over yapping and feelings.
Exactly.
And I hate to be a typical woman, but if you ask me what's my favorite thing to do other than game night, I love sitting around talking about feelings and growth and spirituality
Oof.
And all this shit that men would eat a gun before they would talk
absolutely.
About. Absolutely. Why do you think I'm never in a relationship? Because where am I going to find a half a fag to talk about? And the minute you do meet like some guy, he's probably Indian. They're always Indian. And they want to talk about yoga and Sufis and this, that, the other with the turbans. I don't like it. I don't want to have to talk to a guy about those things. So I keep the women friends, the gay friends, and then I just don't date. I think I've got the perfect life.
That's it.
That's it.
Except for the non-sex thing, it sounds good.
It's terrific. Anyway, Mike.
Yes.
I heard through the grapevine that there are some telltale signs when one is a bad friend.
Yes.
And I personally will bang down that list because I'll tell you something. I don't put up with anything. And people out there, listen to me. I know we joke around a lot on this, but if your friend is causing you more harm than worth, write them off. It's an insult to them to keep them around. It's an insult to your life to waste a minute on someone who's sucking your oxygen. I don't say that lightly. It's a hard thing to do, but do it and do it right and stick with it because life is too short. Come on, how long are you going to live? You're not going to live to 100. You're not one of those people in those weird countries that eat Dan and yogurt and live forever.
Do you want to be 100, really?
No. No. Unless you're me. Okay.
So, all right, this is from thetalko.com, and it's 15 signs that you are a bad friend.
All right, I guarantee you I do not do one of these. Go ahead. I don't know the list.
Now, this is one that you've probably had experienced with friends, someone who's a social climber, who is friends with you because you can do stuff for them.
Well, that I can see coming a mile away. And I think because of my age, I'm able to spot it. Mm-hmm. Like if someone wants to hang around with me to get an agent or get connections, first of all, you're barking up the wrong tree. I'm not Amy Schumer. What the hell am I going to do with you? There's clearly no bigger sign than being on the way down than doing a podcast with you, Mike Morse. So classically, it don't work. But with them, I can see it a mile away. Mm-hmm. I write them off.
Right.
And me personally, I don't think I've ever done that to a person because when I meet a celebrity, I'm almost too afraid to look that way. So, like, for instance, I met, say, a Bill Hader. I remember I met Bill Hader at, like, some premiere. And I was so scared he would think I was trying to get something from him. I was like, hi, Bill Hader, I'm a big fan. And, like, I, like, don't even introduce myself. Like, so he's like, I know she looks familiar, but I don't really know that person. So I just keep moving.
Right.
So I'm so scared to be perceived that way. Like, I don't want anything from you. Like, for instance, for my premiere of my play, now, I really love Howard Stern. As you know, he's my hero. I know Howard doesn't like to be invited to plays. Well, if I was a social climbing dick bag, I would be stupid enough to invite him to the opening night.
But you didn't.
No. Guess who I invited? Beth.
Okay.
Because I love Beth. We worked together for the North Shore Animal League. And I was a Beth Ann guest. So I wrote to Howard. And I think this is what a good friend does. I said, first of all, I didn't even write to Howard. I'm so on the outside that I don't even have the email address. I send it to Gary and say, please forward. So I wrote, dear Howard, I wanted you to know, I know how much you hate plays. I did you the favor of not inviting you to my opening, but I invited Beth because I think she likes plays. If you'd like to come as her guest, great. But hopefully she'll be able to attend. I hope I did you a big favor. That to me is a friend.
There you go.
So if I was a social climber, this would not work. And I would be like, please come. We really need your picture on the red carpet. He didn't go for that fag George Takei. He's not going for me.
You are actually. I hadn't even thought about it. You're in a great position to be a social climber because you have fame already. And,
yeah.
And you are in those channels. So you could definitely latch on. In fact, it reminded me of the New Year's Eve party you went to a few years ago.
That you
told me how nervous you were and just.
Oh, my God. The Steve Martin. Oh, that was horrible. I went to Steve Martin, that by some miracle, because I knew his chef. I mean, I always know the help. I don't know the person. I get invited to Steve Martin's New Year's Eve party, and literally every famous person was there that you've ever heard of. Lorne Michaels, Tina Fey, Fred Armisen. Paul Simon. Like, the guest list was hilarious. I'd love a Xerox copy of that thing. So it's everybody who's ever been on SNL. It's so amazing. And also, Steve Martin's a Renaissance man, so it's all those people who, you know, are in the art world and art critics and New York Times writer. So many banjos, too. Way too many banjos. So I was so like, please, God, don't let them think that I want to be friends with them because they'll think I want something from them, that I was really quiet. But what was great, at the time I was married to Jimmy, and he would go up to people like a Tina Fey and say, oh, I'd love to introduce you to my wife, Lisa. So at least, but then what do you say?
Right.
If me and Tina Fey don't have a friend in common, what are we going to say? Right. Hi, I love your show. And then she has to look at the ground. I don't want to talk to people where I have to look at the ground and they have to look at the ground. So good. I'm glad I'm not a social climber. Boom. And also, I want to note that even though I behaved like a lady, I was not invited to Steve Martin's party the next year. I blame Jimmy.
It's his fault. All right. Now, this one, you might be a bad friend. Try to change your friend.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. It's just a list.
Okay. I do try to change my friends, but for their own good.
Okay.
Now, this drives me insane. When my friends try to change me, I say to them, why would you try to change me? I'm virtually perfect. I may yell. I may be a little cunty sometimes if you call me during the play. However, if you let me get in my costume and I have 10 minutes, I'll call you back. But I'm not trying to change you. I'm trying to get you to call me at different hours, you fucking dope. But anyway, be that as it may, let's go back to my fault, which is, Yes, I try to change my friend. Is that a bad thing? I'm not saying, oh, become a drinker so I could get you raped on Law & Order SVU and have a story for Mariska Hargitay. I'm saying change for yourself so that you can be a better person. But you're right, Mike. It's pushy. It's wrong. And I guarantee you I will continue to do it.
You're good at
it. Till
the
day I die.
Yes.
I'm fantastic.
All right, so you're one and one.
Yes.
Flirt with the significant other. I'm sure you don't do that.
I don't like it. First of all, you know, I don't do it. I never do it.
Right.
I think that I have a little good radar for that. When I'm in a relationship and I see a girl kind of give my guy the eye, who am I kidding, Mike? I've never dated anyone anyone else wanted. But if I did, that would definitely be a deal breaker. I would never do that, first of all, because it's super gross. I mean, I'm sure you wouldn't either.
No.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So, these are those 101 things that you go, if that's happening, she's horrible, get rid of her.
Right,
as a
that's
friend.
An easy one.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah. All right, so you're back 2-1.
Oh, I do remember one thing, though.
Right.
A friend of mine, after me and Jimmy were broken up, this was really wild, we were at my dad's wake, and it was actually it was really nice and really upbeat because, you know, my dad had a great life, and it was good music playing, it was really positive. I have a friend who gave Jimmy her number and said, let's keep in touch.
Wow.
So I thought this was really weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what a great person I am, Mike? People listen to me. You're not as evolved as me, so you probably can't do this. I said, this girl's in a sad place right now. He's not going to call anyway. And if he does, that's his business and his problem. I said, you know what? I'm going to act like it never happened and forgive her. I won't give her name on the podcast, but if she pisses me off one more time... You know who you are out there.
Mariska Hargitay.
Yeah. Stop flirting, Lena Dunham. Just kidding. But yeah, so you have to sometimes know your friend's in a bad place and forgive them.
Okay. Well, that is very big of you. All right. Well, this one, you might.
Oh, no.
You one up them because you're a very competitive person.
I one up them, but not in the way of like. That means anything. Like, I don't go, oh, well, since I have more money than you, I'm going to do this. Or, oh, since I have four houses, I'm doing this. First of all, I don't have four houses, so I can't do that. But if I don't one-up that way, how I do one-up is in personal growth. Well, I did this seminar and I did this workshop and my doctor says, so I'm kind of being like, I know ways for you to be more healthy, so I'm going to really browbeat you into it. So I one-up them that way, and I also will one-up them in a game. Like, I'll be like, oh, I won Family Feud with my team 20 times in the last year, so you suck. So I don't think that counts. I think I'm perfect.
All right, so you're 2-2.
Two and two.
Try to change your friend, and you one-up
All right,
him.
Shut up. You don't have to remind me of that.
All right, you talk more than you listen. Now, this I don't know.
You know, Mike, this one, I'm going to be 100% honest with you. This may happen. I am a talker and a half, but I always think to myself, of course I talk more than I listen because I'm interesting. I'm fascinated. Sometimes at a family gathering, I'm shocked we're not talking more about me. I always go, why are we listening to the kids?
Right.
Like, yeah, you're going away to college. Yeah, you're starting a new job. Why is that interesting?
Yeah, it's your birthday.
I'm hobnobbing.
Big fucking deal.
Yeah, big deal.
You're going to have another one next year.
Yeah. Oh, the aunt and uncle are celebrating 50 years together. So what? I was smart enough not to celebrate 50 years together. Can we talk about my play? Can we talk about that I'm really famous? So yeah, you're right. Okay, sometimes I do that.
All right, so now.
Oh, man. Am I 3-2?
3-2. Ooh. Yeah, this is not looking good. Oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. All right. Do you want to take a break and get
back
to
this? I
want
to hear that one last one.
One last
one? I'm not coming back ever.
All right. You have too much drama and there's always a crisis.
No, that's one good thing.
Okay.
I will say about myself. Why drama is completely true. I don't ever create it.
Well, that doesn't make a difference. Do you dump it onto your friends, the drama you are experiencing?
Well, here's what I'll say. I'll go, listen.
You write a play about it.
Listen, that's right. And I sell tickets and make money. What I do is I'll say I'll hit a car. Just randomly. Yeah. Say I'll wreck a car. I'll call and I'll yell. And I'll say, Vicky, I'm going to yell and I'm going to vent. It's not at you. It's to you. So don't say anything. I'm just going to vent. And then by the end of the conversation, I go, thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm.
The drama is over. Once I get it out, I get it out. Have I failed the friendship quiz?
That's 4-2.
Oh, man. I'm not the great. You know, since this quiz now only has 6 categories, let me see if we can do one more and get even somehow.
Okay. Secret spiller. You will tell a secret that someone tells you.
Absolutely. Not even like denying it. Like, I won't tell your name, but I'll be like, oh, listen, don't tell her. But Okay. Yeah, totally.
All right. Do you want to keep going?
Why not? I'm killing it.
All right. Now, this one, I think you're gonna get that you're a user and you never pay. That I know.
Well, here's the problem. I sometimes pay too many times because I feel I have to make up for the fact that they're not as rich as me.
Right.
So is that showing off? No. Is it feeling sorry for them? A little. Is it putting myself in a place to feel like, oh, they're going to talk about me? I don't know. But I sometimes think I pay for the wrong reasons.
Well, but
at least I'm not that one thing. So give me a point.
No,
for
I'm giving
sake.
You that one. Possessiveness.
No, what does that mean?
That you're jealous if they're friends with other people.
I do that sometimes.
You were doing well there for a second.
Because my best friend has another friend. You were doing it for a second. You're a scorekeeper.
Yeah.
That's one thing that should be on that list. You're a scorekeeper, and I'm not. I am a scorekeeper. I am. Once I said to a friend of mine, you have never done anything for me. And then she made me a whole list of things she did for me, I guess. And I go, I guess I better take that one back. Okay, but wait. So the possessiveness, not like outwardly, but inside I get a little twinge. Like, okay, so my best friend has this other really good friend, but they're not best friends. Like, I buy my friendship with her with love and with money. Mm-hmm. So I figure, well, he can't do that. But then I go, well, do I have another friend who's my other good friend? And I was like, oh, let me think. And so I scare up somebody else. And I go, okay, good. As long as we each have two, we're okay. So yeah, I think.
Oh, that's a big one.
Hey, yeah. At least I'm freaking admitting my faults.
So you're 6.
Shut
and
up.
6-3.
Shut up.
You want to keep going?
What's the last one?
Well, it's not live. We got a bunch more, but.
No.
Yeah.
One more.
Never take responsibility.
Okay. That one I don't do. And I'll tell you why. Because I always, now, in the last few days, have decided to take responsibility. No, I do, because I'll tell you why. For instance, the other day, I got too pushy with my friend. I want her to change doctors. She doesn't want to. I sensed I was being pushy. Probably the fact that she says, you're being pushy. When somebody says to you, you're being pushy, you sense it and you go, wow, maybe I should back off.
You're so intuitive.
So I am. I'm very intuitive. So the phone cuts out and I go, I think this is the universe's way of saying I've been too pushy. I'm not going to call back. So I text her. After about 5 minutes, I realized what was wrong. I texted, listen, I realized I was pushy and I don't, and you know what's best and you can do what's right for you. So look at that.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that one.
And I'm now allowing her to do what she wants, which is not possessive and is really nice of me.
7-4.
I win 7-4.
You don't want to hear the next one.
No, I don't.
Inappropriate
I'm
comments.
I'm going to say. Oh, fuck that cunt. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break. I'm going to beat the shit out of Mike Morris. I'm going to once again cement the fact that we're not friends. We just work together. And thank God I pay him, or else I'd feel bad about it and think I have to pay him for meals. Fuck you, Mike. Listen, we're going to come back after this break. Get Stuffed, Lisa Lampanelli, a true good friend to all.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
Hey, everybody, it's Lisa Lampanelli, your friend. But clearly, I'm no one else's friend, because during our break, where all I wanted to do was take a whiz, Mike Morris put me through hell, my dirty, rotten, unfriending co-host, and I now realize that not only am I a bad friend, I'm a bad friend double, because I failed. What, 10 characteristics of being a good friend?
10, yes. 10 out of 15 you had as a bad friend.
What were were the other ones that I was bad at?
Inappropriate comments.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah.
Hold things over people's heads.
Definitely.
Super judgy.
Super judgy. I'm Judge Judy plus the Spanish one, too.
The one you did not have was being a chameleon, because you're always you.
I'm always me. I can't change that. I'm not smart enough.
And the big one, always say, I told you
oh,
so.
Oh, my God. But I will find ways to say, I told you so. I won't ever say, well, I told you so. I'll say, yeah, like I said, that doctor probably was pretty good. Yeah,
if only you would have done that.
Yeah, if only
you
have done that. But that's okay. No, you need to grow. It. You need to grow. And then your voice gets higher and higher. All right, all right. So I think we've established so far in this podcast of Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and my not friend Mike that we sometimes don't know what bad friends we are. We think we're great friends and we kind of suck a little. So I'm going to pretend that I'm going to work on those things.
Great.
But I'm really not. Because as long as I hold on to the two good friends I have, no wonder I always go, boy, I hope my friends don't die, because I know who else is going to put up with my shit.
You found two people in the world.
I found two people. Okay, well, you know what, Mike? I stand corrected. I'm a bad friend, but I will try not.
I hope I haven't sent you into a spiral here.
No, a self-hate and shame spiral, yes. But isn't that what friends are for?
Yeah.
That clearly is what I'm doing to other people. So I think it all worked out. Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, well, speaking of friends, I had done a Twitter poll because I've noticed that when you gain, they always say when you lose weight or you gain weight or you get a better job or just if anything is going in the direction you want it to go in.
A positive life change.
Yes. Whenever you make a positive life change, you will have friends that fall away. Mm-hmm. So I put out a Twitter poll that said when you've tried to lose weight or have lost weight, were your friends A, supportive, B, jealous, C, resentful, or four? Also D, straight up cunty. Now, I was shocked and happy that my fans were 54% supportive. Sure, that could have meant that four people voted. But the supportive, that's good. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That means if you're trying to lose weight, your friends don't order a freaking bloomin' onion with extra ranch while you're at the table trying to eat a goddamn fucking artichoke salad. Kill yourself, by the way. That's what supportive is. Supportive isn't saying, you know, you're getting a little too thin. No, I liked you better when you were fat. That's not a supportive thing to say. So I was enthused that my fans said that. But then 29 said they were straight up cunty. Hmm. Now, Mike, do you think that's because my fans like the word cunty or because they were straight up cunty?
I think they're straight up cunty.
Okay, you're right. They are my fans after all. So that's a pretty good sign. So I feel I'm supportive sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm never jealous unless it's about their other friends. Yeah. I'm never resentful unless it's about their other friend. Mm-hmm. And I'm straight up cunty just in life. So I think I'm a pretty cool combination.
At least you know what you are.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, my God. Never hit me with another one of your quizzes again. Speaking of which.
Yeah, I have another quiz.
You know what, Mike? We did an F, Marry, Kill edition a few episodes ago. Right. About food.
Yes.
Because I think we were shocked to find out that I don't love every food. Mm-hmm. So I think you have done something similar today.
Yes. And we are going to revisit that food thing too at some point.
Good, good.
But for now, this is the F, Marry, Kill friend edition. Oh. So now there's three people and I'll ask you. And the fuck would be that he or she is your best friend forever.
Okay. So fuck is like the best
everything
thing
you do is with them.
Okay.
Shop, vacation, you know, late nights. Watching TV. Marry is a person you would invite to your parties, have dinner with once a month. You text, you call. Yeah.
Kind of like that acquaintance type.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Like, what I call a tennis friend.
Right.
Yeah. You play tennis, but you hate them.
Right. So okay. It's actually like being married.
Yeah.
So
there you go. There you go.
The stuff you do with, but kill. That person's out of your life.
Oh,
done.
Yeah.
Gone.
Okay.
Tina Turner hung out with Ike more than you hang out with this person.
Oh, wow. That was, okay. Boom. Okay. Cool. You're cool. Done. Good thing we're sticking with those cool current references. For those of you who are in the podcasting community, we know you're all under 30 because who else listens to podcasts? But we're not NPR, for Christ's sake. Look up Ike and Tina. He hit her.
Yes. All right.
She
so here you
asking
go.
For it.
F, Mary Kill is a friend. A, Madonna. B, Lady Gaga. C, Katy Perry.
Okay. I'm killing Madonna right off the bat. I am sorry. She has annoyed me since she dated Sean Penn and did that horrible Shanghai Surprise movie. I haven't been able to tolerate her since. I am sick and tired of the gays and all her fucking loyal fans getting mad at me every time I make a Madonna joke. So I cannot stand her, her fake British accent. There's nothing about her I can actually pin down as genuine. And I like genuine people. To that effect, I would probably, I think Lady Gaga would be a little intense for me. I think I know I'm intense. She would probably drive me insane.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah. So she would probably be my acquaintance type friend.
You would marry, that would be the
We'd hang out with occasionally. Mm-hmm. We'd marry her. I would really love to be BFFs with Katy Perry, because first of all, she's like super cute. We're the same age and we're just as pretty as each other in my own head. But yeah, I think Katy Perry would annoy me less than everyone else. And isn't that one of the key hallmarks of being a good friend?
Yes.
Being not annoying?
Yes.
I think Lady Gaga would want to talk about issues all the time.
Yes.
It would always be like the gays, the trans, the I'm kind of ugly, but I think I'm pretty. Right. You know, I don't like it.
Yes. And you watch your weight, and she's going to be sitting there with 20 pounds of meat on her dress.
I don't need that in my life, Mike. That's a non-supportive, straight-up cunty friend. So I feel Lady Gaga, we would kind of hang. But me and Katy Perry, since I don't know a lot about her, I would like to be her best friend.
Well thought out. Okay. A, Elton John. B, Barry Manilow. C, Adam Lambert.
Ah! This is a good one.
Yes.
This Elton John, cross him off.
Okay.
This guy is always serious. He, from what I hear, has a husband.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. I don't like when somebody has someone else in their life who's more important than me. So he's out.
Boom.
And he has kids, too. Oh, the little freaking adopted whatever's he got. I don't like that. Done. This Adam Lambert, he seems a little bit young for me in that he seems a little youthful and too much fun. Like he'd want to party. He'd want to gay it up and go have two dicks in the hand.
Clubbing.
I don't like the club. Right. I don't like two dicks in the hand.
You don't like one dick in the hand.
I don't like any in the room. I'm sure I shocked you were here. I think, obviously, my best friend in the whole world would be Barry Manilow, because I have met and hung out with Barry a few times.
Yes.
We met on The Tonight Show when he was a musical guest. I was shocked that he was a fan of mine. And then I met him in Vegas, hung out once here in New York. And besides, when I'm back in the old sexual groove in a few years, Barry's got a band full of hot chocolate daddies like you wouldn't believe.
There you go. You're thinking
ahead. They signed a non-disclosure, so they can't discuss if Barry is straight or gay, but now we know. So, boy, I can really get it on with those blacks.
Okay.
Barry, I love you, girl.
All right. This is easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
A, Ivana Trump. B, Marla Maples. C, Melania Trump.
Ooh! I can't with this Marla Maples.
Okay, she's dead right off the bat.
Here's why. I saw her on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
She's into all this natural health food crap that I'm into, but I don't have to talk about it all the time on Dancing with the Stars. All she talked about was her stupid diet, her stupid freaking healthy eating, and her dancer's body. Yeah. And also,
let her get a podcast.
Yeah. Let her get a fucking podcast. You know what else about her?
What?
I'm sorry, no offense to Tiffany Trump, but when you give Donald Trump the ugliest kid, well, that Baron's a little, but now you give him an ugly kid, Tiffany Trump. Oh, Tiffany. It's what blacks name their kids after things they can't afford. Why are you naming it after Tiffany? Marla's out.
Okay.
I like the old broad.
Okay.
Ivana, is that her?
Ivana, yes.
The old original model.
Right.
I'll take her because she's from the Czech Republic.
So you're going to F her.
I'll F her every fucking day.
And Melania, you'll
Melania,
hang out with.
She's like the first lady. She's going to stand there. She's going to look good at a party. She's fine.
Okay.
But I like that other broad. Because she's probably bitter.
Right. Oh, I'm sure there'd be good stories.
Don't take the money. Take everything. Remember she says in First Wives Club, God, she's classy.
All right. This is a very special one because it has four.
Four?
Carrie, Miranda, Samantha, or Charlotte?
Okay. Oh, my God. Why don't you just ask me to pick from the Golden Girls? This is truly a Sophie's choice.
Mm.
Because here's the deal, people. If you're a straight man listening, those are the names of the girls from Sex and the City.
You have to kill two of them.
Ah!
Sorry.
Okay. Okay. First of all, let's pair up them with their Golden Girls counterpart.
Okay.
Miranda is Bea Arthur. It's just Dorothy.
Right. Dorothy. Okay.
Samantha is the whore, Rue McClanahan.
Right.
So she is Blanche Devereaux.
Right, Blanche, right.
Charlotte is, of course, Betty White. And I guess Carrie is Estelle Getty. I mean, they've had the same nose. Okay. So the original Golden Girls and then the Sex and the City girls. So we know that they apply. I, first of all, am sadly going to... Not sadly. I'm happily going to fucking kill Miranda. Because
okay.
She was boring, she wasn't that pretty, and she was a lesbian in real life.
Okay.
And I really don't like that. No, I don't feel we had enough in common. She's too serious for me. She was never a lot of fun. She was trying to look better than she was, except where you are.
Being a lawyer and stuff.
Oh, stop being educated. Once you go to Harvard, you're on my shit list. So she's dead to me. Honestly, I hate to be this person. Okay, first of all, like, Carrie's my best friend ever. Like, me and Carrie Bradshaw.
You're fucking just fucking her right off the bat.
I'm fucking her every day. Well, Carrie Bradshaw, here's the thing. As you know, I named my dog after her, so I have to love her to death. So, yes, Carrie Bradshaw, because you grow as a human, Carrie Bradshaw. Listen to me. If you're listening, Carrie Bradshaw, I got your struggle. I understand Mr. Big changed in 6 seasons. I've tried to get boyfriends to change in 6 seasons, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
But for her, it did. So she's my bestie ever. Now, the choice is... I can hang out occasionally with Charlotte or Samantha.
Mm.
I think a few years ago I would have said Samantha because she's fun.
Yeah.
And she has a lot of life in her. But now that I'm older and more settled down, I feel I would go with boring Westport, Connecticut Charlotte.
But Charlotte has kids.
Charlotte does have kids, but by now they're grown up
okay.
or shipped off to boarding school at Choate as they are in Connecticut.
Right.
So I would have to say, Samantha, I'm sorry, you oversexed whore. You're dead.
Okay.
So which Golden Girls did I kill?
So you killed...
Blanche Devereaux, which is fine.
Right.
And also Dorothy.
Yeah.
How could I kill Bea Arthur? But you know what?
Well, actually, Carrie's Bea Arthur because she was she's Dorothy because she
was
the
head. We're confusing all the straight guys out there. We'll do a butch one. We'll do a butch fuck Mary kill.
All right,
okay.
Here you go. Bill Cosby.
Oh!
OJ Simpson.
Oh!
Phil Spector.
Okay. Wow. Okay, now I'm remembering these are friends, not to really F.
Right. This is people you have to hang out with.
Who's the most fun?
Oh, I think
Phil Spector, I think, would be a blast.
Well, yeah, but he's weird, too. He's, like, really freaky,
So I'd be all freaked out by
I don't want to influence you.
Yeah, I know you're right. But OJ.
OJ's fun. If he's not killing you, he's a
He is a partier. Cosby's not going to try to rape me, though, because you don't rape your friends.
You know what, Bill? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my God! See,
that's not off the table with Bill.
Well, let's see which is the worst friend. Like, the worst friend. You know what? I bet OJ was a pretty good friend.
I'm sure he's a great friend as long as you didn't get killed
or were white woman with blonde hair.
Right.
And I have blue hair, so as long as I kept my hair dyed, I think I'd be fine. Okay, OJ and me are going to pal around.
All right, so
we're going to be great friends.
Okay.
That's going to be my good friend.
That's your ex.
Because if I'm not having sex with OJ, I'm fine. I'm safe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because also, remember what a good friend Al Callings was? Mm-hmm. Drove him around.
Yeah, that's so...
You got to be a good friend to get that kind of reciprocal friendship.
Good thinking.
OJ, if you're listening, let's be best friends.
He's getting out of jail next week.
Oh, well,
there
you go. Well, I'm going to lord it over my friend's head that I now have a better friend than them.
I'll send him your number.
Okay. Bill Cosby, boy, that's a tough one.
Mm.
It's, you know, he's black.
He is.
He's got a crappy wife who stands by her man, which I don't like.
And he rapes people.
And he rapes people. Being black is only the third worst thing about him. No, I think Bill Cosby's got to go.
Yeah.
There's just something about multiple... in the double digits rapes that just kind of throw me off. I don't think a friend should rape.
Right. Especially multiple.
If it's twice, I forgive you. So I guess I'm occasionally hanging out with Phil Spector when he's on his meds.
Right. He's on his meds. You get to hear some good music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with that.
That's true. Okay. All right. That's good. That's good. Oh my God, Mike. I'll tell you, this has been a very stressful time for me. This has been, first of all, segment one, we found out I was a horrible friend, mm-hmm. despite me thinking I'm a great one. But you know what's good about this podcast? The second we're done recording it, I'll go back to thinking I'm a great friend, because I know in my heart I only have the best intentions for my friends. Yes, do I try to change them? Yes, do I be judgy? Do I be judgy? I'll be judgy. I'll be judgy. See how badly I talk just from hanging out with O.J. Simpson one day? I know. O.J., he is.
I see O.J.
Yes. So I feel, and now I've learned that of all the celebrities out there, the only one, I don't even think there's one, Barry Manilow. How is Barry Manilow the only person that's good on that entire list?
Wow.
I know. You know it's bad when an 85-year-old with two hip replacements is your best friend.
He'll croon to you.
Oh, God. If I hear Weekend in New England one more time. Oh, no, don't you fucking start. Listen, people, we're going to take a well-deserved break because I'm exhausted from finding out things about myself. I don't like it. But I think it's a lesson to you people out there. Stay open. If you find out things you don't like about yourself, learn about them. Take them in. Think about them for at least 20 minutes throughout the break. And then discard that knowledge and go right back to being the shitheel you always were. We'll be right back with Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli.
Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. We'll be right back. Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli. Welcome back.
It's Get Stuffed with Lisa Lampanelli and my co-host slash non-friend.
What?
New enemy pointing out all my faults, Mike Morse. And I got one thing to say to you. Friendship. Just perfect friendship. Okay. Ours will still be hot. Okay. The fact that you knew more words to friendship than I did proves you're gay. And also it proves that even though I did that show in high school, I have a bad Alzheimer memory problem.
I remember it because I spent my youth in front of the TV watching I Love Lucy.
Well, I remember because I heard of a friendship cottage cheese commercial when we were 12 and everybody's wondering what's friendship and what's cottage cheese. Fuck you, skinny people. Speaking, by the way, of skinny people, I have a friend who actually is deluded enough into thinking I'm a good friend, even though I failed the friendship test. And he probably agrees with me that Elton John would be a shitty friend because he has those two Elton Jizz kids. He is Frank DeCaro, and it's time for the Weekly Win!
Ladies and gentlemen in the red corner, standing at 5 foot, who cares, weighing God knows how much, it's the Win with Frank DeCaro.
Frankie, are you there?
I'm here. I am so ready to be weighed in. Although,
Now
that I've heard the words Elton Jizz, I'm a little, they're Jizz Kids or whatever. That just upset me so much, I think. But now, when you were singing Friendship, were you tearing each other's outfits apart the way they did on Lucy? Because that's what I pictured.
No, really. I would never touch Mike. It's this thing of that I'm repulsed, yet and not in the least bit worried that I would be turned on sexually. Because you know if Mike is this terrible looking with clothes on, out of clothes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry.
I have to masturbate through a sheet and hole in it.
Mike, it's a terrible thing. Frank, do you like the look of yourself naked now?
I'm getting better. I think Mike is cute. I don't want to put that out there.
Shut up, you suck up faggot.
Oh, look how cute he is in a suit. How adorable.
Oh, you know what? Oh, easy to say now that you stole his job as opening act for me.
These things happen, Mike. Anyway, sorry. No, I think Mike is cute. But I always tell you I think you're cute, and you always kick me in the nuts.
Shut the fuck up, Frank. Shut the fuck up. No, Frank, I want to ask you something seriously before we do the weigh-in. I took a quiz today. I'm a terrible friend. I lost 10 out of 15. Now, what would you rate me if I wasn't paying you? What would you, as a friend, would you rate me a good friend?
Yeah, I think you're a really good friend. I also think consciously, I think that you are a really good friend, like a mama bear, and as I always tell people, you're like a life coach to me in so many ways. However, unconsciously, I did dream about snakes last night, and they say that that's anxiety. So it could be that, oh my God, I have to talk to Lisa. And so I dreamt of snakes. So
okay.
I don't know. But
all
it
right.
could also be that I should be nicer to my husband, and it could be a sex thing. I don't know.
Well, the snakes had blue hair.
Be better so. Jim than Elton is to David Furnish, his boy, his husband, you know?
That's true. Well, listen, Frank, the things I failed in as a friend, I'll tell you, they said I try to change people, which I definitely try to change you, that I one up people, meaning I'll go, oh, you know, I went to this and that, and I know better than you. I talk more than I listen. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So
shut up, Frank. Who cares? No one cares. Too much drama. I'm a secret spiller. I'm possessive. I have inappropriate comments. I'm judgy. I hold things over people's heads. And I say, I told you so. Do I ever say I told you so to you?
No, everything else was true, though. No, but I don't think all those are that negative. But I think there's negative to people who are not so formidable. But I think if you're a fairly strong person, you can take the good out of all that. I mean, ultimately, you do all of it out of caring too much.
That's,
you know, he really likes opening for you.
I know, he really does.
I do.
Frank, I like your self-preservation instinct. I enjoy being one-upping you right now and reminding you who has the purse strings. So I appreciate your friendship. Thank you very much. Now, that being said, there's something else I'd like to lord over your head, which is your weight. Now, as everybody knows, they listen for this. They want to know, did Frank DeCaro lose weight this week, gain weight this week, or stay the same? Now, people might call this browbeating. People might call it abuse. I say it's keeping you on track, and that's what friends do for each other. They hold each other accountable. So last week, he weighed how much, Mike? He weighed
208.1.
Wow. Frank, how did you do this week?
All right, I gained a pound.
Oh!
I was 209.1. And I it was very disconcerting. Now, here's the real problem. The day after we spoke, when I was 208.1, I was 207 something, because shortly after we spoke, because you scared the shit out of me when we talked about what I'd have to do if I kept gaining weight. So it was very nervous making. So we should talk first, and then I can have an explosion, and then we should do the weigh-in. Perhaps after the show, I should weigh in, and I can text you. And
well, here's how I feel. Here's
how
I feel, Frank. So basically, you gained 2 pounds because 207.
Yeah.
Now you're 209. So I think you have fallen on your own petard, as they say. No one says that.
And then I ate it.
And you ate your petard. So you gained 2 pounds. This is very scary to me. What are we going to do? What happened? What do you think happened?
Well, I am so excited about getting back to the gym, because to me that's going to help a lot, because by tomorrow I'll be able to go back to the gym after my operation. So I'm excited about that. I get nervous, and so I've been being more diligent and going back to the habits I had when I was first starting to lose weight of the I did have tater tots last night, and then I threw half of them away, and I looked at my husband and I said, Jim, that broke my heart. And he said, look at it this way. You just did a really good thing. And I was like, thank you.
See, you know what, Frank? That proves that Jim not only is a partner, he's a good friend, because he wants to help you. You know, like my fans in the Twitter poll, they said there's 54% of them had supportive friends when they tried to lose weight. Only 29 had cunty friends. Jim is actually the best friend to you, because he doesn't say, Frank, go dig him out of the garbage. Personally, my exes were all such bad friends, I would have to flush the things down the toilet. And you know what it looks like when you flush M&Ms down the toilet? You got a rainbow fresh bowl right there. So you shouldn't have to grind your stuff in a garbage disposal or pour it down the toilet in order to avoid the food. So I think this is great that Jim's actually supportive enough that if he caught you digging through the garbage, he would slap your little fat hand.
Oh, and never kiss me again. He is so germy about stuff. He'd be so freaked out. Because, I mean, we've all gone in and, you know, what is it, the 5 hour rule or something? If you drop a
I think it's a five. Wait. 5 hour rule? It's the 5 second rule, first of all. How fat are you?
No, it's how long has that been there on the counter? Oh, it's 5 hours. I will eat it anyway. You know, how long has the sandwich been out? It doesn't have too much mayonnaise. Just eat it.
Yeah. Well, no, listen, I'm really proud of you. So when you got scared on that scale and you saw that gain, you said to yourself, I'm going back to basics. What are you going to change this week? This helps all our fans. Do you understand, Frank, that by you allowing yourself to be this open, people are going, yeah, you know what? He went out there and he put himself out there. I can now get back on the horse too. So what are you going to do this week that might help other people have a hint of how they can get back on the horse and get that weight off?
Well, I'm going back to the kinds of tricks that I was doing in the beginning, which help all along the way. First of all, it's saying, talking to yourself and saying, do not eat that. You're bored. You're not hungry. Now stop it. And doing that. And also, if you go and you say, you know what, I need that cheeseburger, get it protein style. Get it wrapped in lettuce, and that's 150 calories.
Right.
And say, you know, you had the cheeseburger, eat a third of the French fries and throw the rest away. All right, so that's, instead of 400 calories, it's 150 maybe, let's say.
Right.
So you've saved a few, and just say it's, and believe in yourself and know that if you do not look at every day as the beginning of a downward spiral, but say instead, today is another chance to do it all right, then you'll be doing better. And that's what I've been saying to myself. It's like, you have all the power in the world to never gain any weight. You have all the power in the world to rally when you do gain a couple of pounds. And just do it, and never be discouraged. Refuse to be discouraged. Say, I'm just going to keep doing this because it's my life. It's not a temporary diet. It's a way of living and about listening to the inside voice saying, don't eat that. You don't need that.
Yeah, Frank,
as opposed to,
you know, as they say, I know it sounds corny and we make fun of it in my play. It's not a diet. It's a live it. And I hate that expression, but it's true. It's like, you're not going to be perfect, but it's going to be a way of life. So I'm glad you arrested this thing and you're like, yes, I'm going to do these things that help me. Are you still doing your calorie counting, your Lose It app?
Oh, yes. I've been journaling on my phone. I use an app called Lose It, and I write down everything. And you know what? Even on days when it says, God, you're fat. Okay, it doesn't ever say that. But there are days, even when you've eaten so many calories that it's as if the phone is just going tisk and shaking its head at you, you write it down anyway, because tomorrow you'll be even better. That's really the thing. You've got to keep on it.
So this is what I'm going to hold you to. You are going to at least lose 1 pound by next week because you're going to start exercising again.
I'm so excited.
Now, listen.
So excited.
You get overzealous sometimes, like everybody else, and you try to do the exercise you did 6 weeks ago, and you have to ramp up. So ramp up slowly. You can't do everything you used to do having not done anything for 6 weeks, correct?
Exactly. No, you have to just start slow. But I imagine in like 2 weeks, if I'm working out little by little by little, I'll get back to where I am. I don't think it's going to take 6 weeks to get back there, but we'll take what it can, and I won't hurt myself because that'll ruin it even more.
Right.
I mean, that's the worst thing I could do.
Now, what's your low? What's the lowest you've been at?
The lowest I've been at was when I got on the scale at the doctor after having fasted for 36 hours. I was 206.
Oh,
so that was for a minute.
All right. So I'm not furious with you. I'm forgiving, which I think a good friend, Mike, write that on my list of good friend qualities. Also, I want to know really quick before we let you go. By the way, I'm very proud. You sound very coherent. I don't know what happens when you don't talk to me for a week at a time, but you sound much better when you don't talk to me, which I think makes me a really good friend. Thank you. Write that one down, Mike, you fucking prick. Lastly, would you tell us how have your friends, I know I've been super supportive with your weight loss, how have anybody else, how's the other people in your life other than me and Jim been to you?
Most people have been really good and supportive, and they're like, I can't believe you've actually done this. I'm so proud of you. Most of them, I have to say that people who have their own serious, serious food issues and are not making any changes in their life, that's been a little bit harder because I was thin-shamed.
Thin-shamed?
When I showed up, thin-shamed, which is like being fat-shamed, only more fun. And I'll tell you why it's more fun. It's way more fun than being fat shamed.
Huh?
So I went to see friends that I'd been traveling and I hadn't seen them in months and months and months. And I showed up and I had kind of hit critical mass because ultimately I've lost about 110 pounds or thereabouts. So anyway, so I went to see these friends who basically their idea of a healthy meal is a cheeseburger with mac and cheese on top with cheese sauce on top and then a piece of cheesecake as a chaser. That's their idea.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And that's for one. So anyway, I love them very much, but they're not supportive. So they looked at me when I lost weight and they said, you know, when you were fat, we never noticed how short you are.
Okay. And I said, sorry.
I was like, I'm 5'8" and I'm the tallest person in my family. I was like, I know I'm not tall, but I'm not a shrimp either. I'm 5'8" is vaguely normal, like everything about me, vaguely normal. So it's anyway, so there's that. So that was a little upsetting. And then they said, you just look, the wife said, you don't look like a little old man now.
What? Okay, Frank, I know you. I have never been accused of thinking you're cute or attractive because I don't.
Thank you.
However.
Such a good
No,
friend.
No. In all seriousness, you're adorable. Here's the thing. I've never thought of you as short. And as a matter of fact, you seem taller to me when you've lost weight because you carry yourself with so much more pride. So it's very odd to me. It's almost like they were looking for something. And obviously it was to make them feel better about themselves.
Well, I think they saw the judginess in my eyes, too. Because I think when the husband did order the cheeseburger with the mac and cheese ball on top of it and the cheesecake chaser, I really wasn't making that up. That was exactly the order that night. And I really had to look in my eyes like, God, you're fat. So,
yeah.
And so I think it goes both ways. But I did tell them after, I said, you know, you were really mean to me.
Mm.
And I said, you really hurt. And I wasn't like, you're a bad person or anything. I just said, you were really mean. And the wife and I, who's the only one I would really cotton to, or you really talk to about on this level, and she kind of cottoned to what she said. And she said, you know, I was mean to you, and I'm sorry. And so, she said, it's just that you've lost so much weight. She acknowledged that she was a little bit jealous that I stuck to it. But I just tell people, it's a daily struggle. It's not, it's like, thank you for the congratulations, but it's hard. It's hard every day to make the right decision. And so it's not like, oh, you won the Irish sweepstakes and now you never have to worry again. No, you have to worry every goddamn day.
Well, and also,
the day you
do work it. I've seen you type in, Mike, it's so funny on the road sometimes when he knows he eats too much. He will still type it into that Lose It app and the Lose It app then reprograms and says, and I'm not kidding, it says, congratulations, now you will reach your goal weight by February 19th, 2036. Right? Doesn't it reprogram? And you go, wow,
usually,
it's right.
Yes.
If I eat this much every day, I won't reach my goal till then. So you really are vigilant. And I'm glad, actually, that's a quality of a good friend. You actually told her how you felt. I remember you told me a vague story about this, but I never heard all the details. I'm proud of you because a good friend does say in a calm way, you know, you hurt my feelings instead of you icing her out, because I'll just cut people off and that's probably not healthy. Mike, what do you think?
Well, in his friend's defense, last time I saw Frank a couple weeks ago, at first, just for a sec, I thought it was Peter Dinklage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get that. But in your defense, Mike, Peter Dinklage is so handsome that look at how handsome Frank is now. Okay, maybe
like
that's not
horn.
The part.
That's not the part.
Yeah. Okay, but no, it's true. Frank, you know what? I think you've grown a lot as a person. I think you've luckily been around me enough to absorb my good friendship qualities, yet not absorb my bad friendship qualities. And I noticed you're very much less critical of your friends than you used to be. Because I remember, oh, Mike, it was so funny. Because you know when people are first on a diet, they get to judge everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, we make jokes about the mac and cheese and this and that. But Frank would be like, I am so frustrated. I just went out with so-and-so and they are eating a blooming onion. How do you complain about your weight and eat a blooming onion? I go, Dad, look in the mirror, you fat fuck. We both used to do that too. So Frank, you've become way less judgy, at least, you know, outwardly. So I congratulate you on not being as much of a little cunt as you used to be.
Thank you. See what a good friend you are. Look at you.
See, that's an inappropriate comment. That's on my list. Frank, you're doing great. I'm sure by the time we talk to you next week, that you will have lost that pound. And I feel like I look forward to talking to you next week. And since we're really good friends, I'll probably talk to you this week by text because I'm emotionally unavailable. And that's what you like in a friend.
I do. You know what would really help me? Would you talk down to me next time we talk?
I
that
will.
Would really work.
I will.
For me. Thank,
thank
you.
And thank
put
you
me
for
me in my place, Lisa Lampanelli.
Oh, well, listen, Frank, seriously, I love you, man. Good luck this week, and we'll talk to you next week. Yay.
Love you too. Get stuffed, everybody.
Yay. Oh, my God. See, Mike? See, he fun. Thinks I'm a good friend. Yes. So you're the one who's a little cunt.
Well, now he can look forward to some more dreams about snakes.
Yeah, that's true. With blue hair. Well, listen, folks. I think we've learned a lot today.
Oh, my God.
What have we learned, Mike?
Exactly what kind of friend you are.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We've learned I'm a bad friend who thinks I'm a good one.
Right.
That Frank has so much self-hate, he thinks I'm a good friend, right, even though I'm a bad one.
And if Barry Manilow ever hears that quiz you took about friendship, he's not going to be your friend.
No, I think not. But Elton John definitely has so much self-hate, he'll want to hang
yes,
out with
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Elton Jizz. I think we've learned the phrase Elton Jizz. Listen, folks, we're going to be back next week with another episode of Get Stuffed. If you want to see my play, upon which this podcast is predicated, go see it at the West Side Theater. It's called Stuffed. It's funny. It's hilarious. It's moving. It's touching in all the inappropriate places. Nice. Go to stuffedplay.com for tickets. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll shit your pants. And to see Mike Morse.
Yes, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Mike Morse Says. And if you go to my website, writefunny.net.
And of course, that is spelled W-R-I-T-E, funny.net.
Yes, right, as you know, writing funny, writefunny.net.
I love it. And one last thing, Frank, I forgot to, as a bad friend, I forgot to give him his socials, but I'm going to give them out to show what a good friend I am. Aww. Please cut this out in the taping. Just kidding. At Frank DeCaro Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At Frank DeCaro Show. Me, Lisa Lampanelli. Find me everywhere. What the fuck do you want from me? And also, let's be a good friend to the people who help us with the show. Go ahead, Mike.
Right. Well, there's Lauren and Ken from Puffin Dog Music.
They're terrific friends.
All the tunes you hear, as well as Anthony from Five Ohm Productions.
Fuck that guy.
Okay. and you can check out more shows of this high quality,
yes,
by Feral Audio by going to
feralaudio.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We love you. We'll talk to you next week on Get Stuffed.
Did you get stuffed? She's the queen of mean. She can't be tamed. Larger than life with a tiny frame. She's raw as hell. She's hot. She's rough. She's Lisa Lampanelli, and you just